Hi, welcome to Two Non Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada.
Sorry, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, my hair's frizzy and I'm trying to like hide it behind a bandana. And then your hair is just like perfect Whitney Houston 80s volume. I want to dance with somebody. It's like,
okay,
perfect
all right,
hair.
cool. I just got a haircut today, but I didn't want it to be Whitney Houston, so I think you've ruined it for me. I was like loving
How
this
have I
cut.
ruined it? It's
I don't want to
beautiful.
be Whitney Houston.
It just has like volume-esque, like people would kill for that volume. I would
Yeah.
murder for that volume.
Pretty happy with the volume. Yeah. I was just hoping it would be like a 20s bob, but maybe that's what Whitney was going for.
But isn't that, it all circles around. If we're in 2024 and it's the 90s right now, then probably 1985 was like their like flapper era. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
The same way the 90s was very 60s.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you. That's what I meant to say.
It looks perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. I was like, let's just go shorter. I was like, shorter than shorter. It's like, do the chin.
Yeah. And he
And
was
then
just
she
like,
ended up really, really loving it. But yeah, because at first she was like, I like your haircut now. And I was like, I want to go shorter.
But I'm here now. I'm
What
here
about
now
what I
paying
want?
you. Yeah, I'm here now paying you.
Yeah. I'm here now paying you. I'm just a girl in front of her stylist asking her to
Saying,
do what I've asked you to do.
or you're just like, okay, I'm trying to grow my hair back out long, but you know how it is with curly hair. When you have it go long, it starts to do this like flat top, like cartoon character, like mom cartoon character. Like, I don't know why it, like any kind of heaviness with curls, and they're like, we can't do this. I'm so tired. I just can't. I just can't. So I was telling her,
I'm
I was like,
just
hey, can
hair.
you,
Hair is dead. What
I'm,
do you want from me?
what do you, it, it's dead as soon as, on the spot, dead, on the spot, dead. But I was like, hey, can we put some layers in it so that I'll have some volume? And she's like, well, if I put layers, you're gonna look like this. And she just started showing me like curly hair girl mullets. And I was like, and she's like a new stylist because my last one moved to Long Island. And I was like, hey, I've had layers before. I know my hair is thin, but I don't think I'm immediately going to have a mullet. Like, I just don't, I just, it's never happened before. Like, but it was like this back and forth where I was like, some layers, like I came here for layers. I wrote down layers. You're like, oh, why are you here? And I was like, layers. And they're like, do you want
Layers.
some? Like, you know what I mean? Like, but, and finally she did
My
it and she was,
layers.
and it was perfect. But I was just like, we both know, you know how to do layers. We know that.
I
So
know,
why
but
are
I
you?
would have been weary if she was like, yeah, it'll be a mullet. It's like only because you've made it a mullet.
Yeah, only because
So
you were like, she said layers, I heard mullet.
yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think we're speaking the same hair language.
Yeah. Why do I look like Billy Ray Cyrus? Layers. No.
Yeah, layers. No. She said, I want to look like my dad from the 80s. I'm saying I want pretty layers. She's like, I'm not hearing it. I'm not. And there's a lot of mullets out there. There's a lot
Yeah.
of, I think, intentional and unintentional mullets. And you know,
I'm
if that's
loving
your
it.
thing, huh?
I'm loving the mullet look.
I cannot. I just cannot. There's nothing about it.
I feel like there's a certain generation of people that was just like, it was traumatic the first time. I will never get on board with this haircut.
Ever. Ever. And I've not seen one person that I'm like, nailed it. You know what I mean? There's like every other hairstyle. I'm like, that looks good on you. Your head might be too big for that. Hey. That's a no. I've never seen one person, woman, man, cool, not cool, seen a mullet and been like, that's the right choice.
Yeah. Yeah. They've grown on me. I've seen people with them and I'm like, no. And then I'm like, yeah, that, I mean, that's your whole personality. But
it's a strong choice, and I'm proud of the decision that you have made in your strong choices.
I think the only like hair stylistic choice that I can't get on board with, no matter who you are, and it will shape how I feel about you as a human, is the goatee.
Goatee.
I hate goatees.
Really? I mean, that is
Ugh.
very 90s. Did you get bullied by a man with a
I didn't have
goatee?
to. It was a terrible look.
But I think
I'm so glad
every
it's not.
guy
I don't think it's a 90s look that came back. I'm really happy about that. I find goatees just the ugliest thing in the world. Along with the soul patch.
That was very 90s.
Ugh. Well, sorry. And then the little kind of sideburn. The little half sideburn.
See, all those to me kind of depend. I've seen people pull. I mean, the patchy thing is a little, it's a choice. But I really think it, I don't know. Almost every other facial hair, like, it's just like there's just some stuff. Let's put it this way. Like, there's some outfits that I've seen on people and I'm like, I wish I could pull that off. I cannot pull it off. You nailed it. And then there's some people where I'm like, I see that you saw that on someone else, thought, why not me? Saw that it didn't work for you, but tried to force it. And it's just like, don't force it. It's not for you. It's not for you. And it sucks. Like, we're two very short people. There's just some stuff that just doesn't work on
our
little...
It's funny, because when I was getting my hair cut, I was like, I wish I could wear long dresses. I'm too short for that. And then my stylist was like, you should just wear long dresses. Who cares? And then I just felt all free. I was like, yeah, fuck it. I should just wear long dresses. And you're here going, no, there are some things you can't do.
No, but I don't think a long dress, I have long dresses and I'm not that much taller than you. I think it's A, the type, and B, it's, you know how it is. There's just certain, like, it has to just be, if it's a long dress that's like vroomf, and it has no shape to it, it's like, first of all, why are you hiding your shape? You have a lovely shape. But also, like, it's going to just make us look invisible, right? But if it has a little bit of shape, and you can mimic that with, you can cinch it. Danny's going to watch this. This is what we did our entire childhood. Just cinch it. Just cinch it.
What do you mean cinch it?
It's from an SNL sketch in the 90s. It was just like David Spade, Adam Sandler. They all worked at the Gap, and they would, like, you know, they were dressed like women. They're just like, just cinch it. Just like put a belt on it.
Oh, okay.
Just cinch it. Pretty much my entire childhood, we would just be like, what do you think of this? Just cinch it. You should just cinch it. So that's the thing, is that, like, I don't know. I don't have a torso. I know I don't have a torso. So I have to keep that in mind when I dress.
You have a torso. It's just extra long.
Oh, I feel like I don't have a torso at all.
Oh. Oh, okay. I've been tricked by your long cardigans.
Yes, for years. Forever.
Not cardigans, yes, tank tops. Yeah.
Yes, for years. Just longer than necessary. It's an illusion.
I'm like, it's like extra long.
It's an illusion. I'm just like, where's her butt? Where does her butt start? But also, who gives a shit what anybody thinks of you? That's the other part of it. It's like, go have a mullet. Why does my opinion matter? Go have a goatee. Why does your opinion matter?
What if we signed on next week and I have a mullet and you're like, that's...
I can't.
Why do you have to do this? You said.
I know you already live in Europe, so you're not stress packing the way I am for Europe, but I am.
Just overpack, leave stuff here, and then we can hop on over to Europe with less stuff. Nope, that's not working. Shaking your head already.
No, I'm doing so little that I know I'm going to kick myself. I am going, because I hate, like, so the biggest thing about hopping from city to city is that you have to repack every night, right? Mm. And when you have a lot of stuff, just, you never pack as well as you did the first time. I'm like rolling things are in certain spots so I can find them. But if I was staying somewhere for a week, it doesn't matter if you kind of overpack, because it's just like, you got to do it once when you get there and once when you leave. But when there's lots of room, you could be a little sloppier about it. I can buy little knickknacks if I want knickknacks. I'm going real light.
Okay. I respect that.
I'm going t-shirt and jeans. I'm going comfy on a plane, in a train. I'm going real light.
Yeah. I want
somebody to pick up my bag and think I'm doing like a money drop off. Like, I left the funds in a bathroom.
This girl's a criminal. I've never seen a ladies pack bag so light.
Oh. Dude, so we went, so no, it's my favorite stranger compliment. I went to Puerto Rico after Christmas with Evan, and he was like, you know, you fly JetBlue. JetBlue has become like, cause there's only certain flights that go to Puerto Rico.
Went to Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I went to Puerto Rico.
How am I your, like, best friend, right?
Right?
I didn't know about that at all.
You did. It was for 4 days after Christmas. You were busy.
You were in Edinburgh. I didn't know about that.
It's fine. It's
How
fine.
Was it?
It was great. Thank you for asking. But Evan was like, hey, it's like, you know, it's like JetBlue is like one of the only people that goes direct there. And it's become like almost a like a budget airline. And he was like, pack light. So I had just like a tiny duffel bag and my little backpack. And we rented a car and we're waiting for them to like drop the car off. And I put my bags in the back and the woman's like, I've never seen anybody pack so light in my life. And I was like, like Evan was like, oh my God. I was like, I literally was just like, I'm sorry. Can you say that into a recorder? I am. I was like, I think she said woman. She's never seen a woman pack so light, but she probably has never met a woman that like did not care. I packed like a bathing suit, a pair of shorts and like my contacts. And I was like, and sunscreen. And I was like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, but this trip is different because, like, I would normally just be like, all right, I'll have, like, two outfits that I just switch between. But mm-hmm. we have to take pictures and stuff and videos, and I don't want to be wearing the same thing. I learned that mistake from our August tour. I was like, that dress again? That fucking dress again? So sick of it.
It does help. I mean, I'm doing, like, 5-6 shirts. Oh, the other thing is washing your stuff in hotel technology has changed. Right. Like I used to bring the pods and I would like pierce the pods and I would do like, you know, bathtub sink washing. But now there's these little strips. So I brought a bunch of little washi strips, like paper strips to wash my clothes. I'm very excited.
Can you bring me some? Where do I get those?
No, I'll take a picture. Has that technology not come to the UK?
Not heard of it, but I'll look.
I love just like a cat coming in the background.
Your cat, like, yeah, but he came in like he was about to murder you.
Well, also he came out of screen, then he comes behind me, and then like it feels like an illusion where he's like, he's been so annoying today. Okay. So yeah, I'm in the middle of packing. I'll probably have to borrow stuff, is what I'm trying to say.
Fine. It's fine. We'll switch outfits.
Perfect. And yeah, I'm excited to see. I see you tomorrow.
I know, that's crazy. I was just thinking that.
Just like I pop in, I'm like, here we're on the screen, and then it's like hug, <I'm> hugging you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts. Like all this all happened so quickly.
Ghost is like, I'm here too. Hi, I'm a carry on.
You brought the wrong cat.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm Lunchbox all the way, baby.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's team Lunchbox. Ghost every day is losing fans.
He needs to stop biting faces.
Yeah, he really does.
Then you can keep your fans.
You hear that, Ghosty? Ghosty's like, whatever. I'm not here for other
I people. Am who I am.
Yeah, I'm getting a mullet tomorrow.
Why, who else turned away from him?
Everybody. Sam was pretty team. Sam doesn't like long haired cats, so he was pretty team Ghost. But Ghost has just been bitey and annoying, and so yeah, he's not making fans.
No, he's problematic. You need to like send him to military school or something.
Yes, cat military school, which is just them weaving through like cat toys and.
I know, but they do it in their cute little military outfits. I bet I would make a lot of money opening up a cat military school.
There is, what is it, the Russian cat circus? I think we could do some kind of American version of that, but like it's just them not listening and like ordering frappuccinos or something. He loves straws. Whatever. He steals straws. Like you can't, like if I get like a coffee or a bubble tea and I turn my back, I literally hear like, he's like just squeaking as he steals a straw. He's becoming a bad cat, if I'm being honest. And I
love that you say becoming. He's always been a bad cat, Liz.
And I raised him.
I know. You did such a great job with Lunchbox that I don't blame you. I think it's just a personality he was born with. I think it took you a long time to see it because you're his mom. But he's always been bad.
I can't actually argue that. We should do some quick announcements, especially since they're pertinent. This one comes out next week. We will be in Berlin.
London.
No, London. This is going to pass because London's on Sunday.
Right. I'm sorry.
You're doing great. You're fine.
I knew what I was doing, but I don't want to bother explaining why I said London. Okay, go on.
You're fine. London's done. You missed London, guys. We're going to be in Berlin, Frankfurt, Heidelberg.
I won't be.
You won't be. Where will you be?
Wiesbaden.
None of these are real places. Paris.
Karlsruhe. Brussels. Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Geneva, Zurich,
Munich,
and then I'll be in Istanbul. All that stuff is on my website, on your website. I have a new website. I don't think it's hopefully gonna launch today. It might have not launched yet when you check it, but by the time they check it, it'll be new. Very excited. I needed it to be simpler. I needed it to be like more direct. I wasn't keeping things up to date. You know when people like book you and they like take pictures and bio, and I would get mad because it would be out of date, and then I'd go to my website and it's like on my website, like the pictures on my website, like, so it's just you know what I mean? Yeah. Although somebody advertised me with a picture from when I was 21 and they were like, in my defense, you look exactly the same. And I was like, that's very nice. That's very nice. Also not true. But I just, you know, I get pictures like every couple of months, takes 2 seconds to ask me, is there a perfect picture I prefer? That being said, a booker was like, hey, if you want to update your bio and picture, send it to me. So I sent him my new picture. I sent him my new bio and he goes, can I edit your bio? And I was like, sure. And he goes, can I just use the other picture? And I was like, sure. what are we doing here? I'm just like so busy that I was all proud of myself for actually emailing him back right away, and then he just did whatever he wanted, and I was like, what are we doing here?
Why are we interacting? Just fine, do what you want.
Yeah, but we're on tour together. We're in the middle of our tour. Please come see us. It's a lot of Germany. We're doing a bunch of new cities. I'm very excited. I have a new hour. It's called Space Camp. I just officially got my new date. I'm going to be taping Space Camp September 15th at the Bell House. Hopefully tickets will be out by the time this comes out, but if not, they should be out in the next week or so. So if you want to go to a taping and you want to see my new hour in New York, it's there.
I thought you were retaping Murder Sheets.
Yeah, I just keep retaping Murder Sheets over and over again.
No, I thought because of the whole fiasco.
Yeah, but what would be the point of that? Like,
okay,
one, I'm over it. But two, like, I talked to, so I'm going to actually put out a video soon. I don't even remember if I talked about it on here, that my YouTube special got flagged for using the C word. I call my cat the C word, 51 minutes and 30 seconds into my act. The rules for YouTube is that you just can't curse in the first 7 seconds and you can't have any profanity or anything like obscene in your thumbnail. But like minor cursing is like fine. Turns out the C word is hate speech. Didn't know. I literally have been talking about it on stage. I was like, I need to apologize to my sister immediately. And I guess all of the UK is canceled. Like, I don't understand how the C word is hate speech. Whatever. So they flagged my special. It got limited ads, meaning I'm making like 30 to 80% less ad revenue than my previous specials. And they say they don't do this, but I can see it. I'm getting less reach because they're making less money off me. I'm getting less reach and my special's not doing as well as my other specials. I'm very angry and upset about it. Regardless, I talked to Fahim Anwar. Mm-hmm. He had something similar happen to him. Mine happened 48 hours after I released it. His happened like 3 hours after he released it. So he was like in panic mode and they edited out, like if his thing was an hour, they edited it down to like 40 minutes and they released a censored version, an edited censored version like the next day. And I talked to him about it and he was like, honestly, he's like, YouTube doesn't like when you have like the same stuff put out there.
Okay.
And so like, I think his original uncensored special is like 150,000. His censored one is like 25,000. Neither of them are doing any different, you know what I mean? Even though he took about 20 minutes off it. So it just, I talked to him for a while about some options. You know, I've talked to YouTube. Nobody, it's all a clusterfuck, honestly. So I'm just trudging along, hoping people discover it organically, because YouTube isn't going to help.
So tell people about it. Murder Sheets.
Murder Sheets, guys. Go see Murder Sheets. I'm really proud of it. And if you do see me live, I have a whole new hour called Space Camp. But yeah, I'm making a video today to kind of like talk to fans about it, because it's like, they don't know. They don't even know. Like, that's the thing that I was talking to Evan about it. He was just like, well, how much money have you made from the other ones? I was like, just enough to cover my expenses. Like, this is the horrible part about it, is that like, I don't actually make that much money from the specials. Like, the specials cover the expenses I paid for. But what helps is I make new fans, and those fans come and see me live, and I'm not making new fans off of this. So it's like, I kind of just didn't do a special for nothing. I don't want to say that, because I'm proud of it. I love it. The first month doesn't depict the lifespan of a special, and people can discover it anytime. And I don't want to just say I did it for nothing, because I performed it for a year. I'm proud of it. It'll be there forever. But I am probably not going to make my money back on this, which is hard to go into the next one where, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the only thing that helps to do the next one is that at least I wasn't in debt from the last one. So yeah, it's like that kind of stuff. So it's like, I don't know. It's so hard to tell, like, you know, you see my specials, they have millions of views, but it's like, you don't get a dollar per view. That's not how it's working. So it's based on like per thousand. So I actually went through and like looked at how much money I made per special. It's really interesting. Maria Bamford's been like a real influence on like financial transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important for other comics to know, you know what I mean? But I think it's also
definitely
important. I think it's important for your fan base to know, because, you know, it's, we all laugh. Like, if you look up your name, it'll tell you who you're married to.
Oh, my net worth is insane.
Yeah, your net worth.
What is this based on?
Oh, dude, I remember Joe Zimmerman had one, and he's like, I'm worth $10 million. Where's my money? He's like, I want money. He's like, who has my $10 million? But it's like, I don't know if what they're, I would love to know what that's like based off of and who's doing that. Like, that's crazy to me. But like, it is like, I wrote it down, like, self help me. I spent $17,000 and I made $7,000, and it has 1.9 million views.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
You made more than that.
Yeah, it's, I made Ghost of Academic Future. I spent $6,000 making, and I made $12,000. So I was able to make money off that. I would say for Self Help Me, I was able to make money through Sound Exchange. So I ended up making most of my money back on Self Help Me. And I also, like, that was the first time self-producing a special. So I learned from my mistakes, and I was able to spend clearly about $10,000 less money on it on the last one. And I went more like low budget for the Ghost of Academic Future. But like, Self Help Me, you know, that's almost 2 million views, and I made a little over $7,000. And then Ghost of Academic Future is about 1.1 million views, and I made almost $13,000. And some of that has to do with how many ads you put in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's the other thing, is like, with my ads being limited, I still have ads, but they're not, because what I said is considered hate speech, the ad people have to decide if they want to be associated with hate speech. So there's less people that want to be so that's what's funny about it, is like, some guy left a comment that was like, I hope Liz is making money from these ads, because they are bizarre. And it's all like poop cleanses. So apparently poop cleanse companies are like, hate speech, don't we all,
you know,
say
what's close
it?
To the
so it is, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, guys. I've learned a lot about speech, and, you know, mistakes were made unintentionally. And also, the internet's changing. I mean, the internet is because ads rule everything. Think about how, like, when you would do a late night set, you would have to like not say certain stuff and you couldn't belittle certain people because, you know, CBS or, you know, whatever made money off ads. But now things are coming more and more online and people are making money off ads and they don't want to risk it. And you have to censor yourself.
Yeah.
And the internet is becoming like the new cable.
That was inevitable. It wasn't always going to be the Wild West. It was like, yeah.
Sure. But it's like,
they were never going to just let us make all the money. That's crazy.
Yeah, but why not? So they did change the rules. That's the other thing, is not change the rules, but they've been more explicit. Like as of April, because I put my thing out April 2nd, as of April 24th, they, like, because of me and Fahim and a couple of other comics, it now explicitly says, like, if you say the N word, if you say the F word, like not the.
But they didn't say the C word. I still think you should sue. Take you two down.
Yeah, with what money?
YouTube's so like, yeah, you know, we're gonna shut down.
yeah, this podcast. That's what I love about John Oliver. Like John Oliver will, I think AT&T owns, does AT&T, something owns Max, or they're in bed with somebody. There's some cell company that's in bed with HBO, or you know they all own each other or whatever. And he always calls it Network Daddy. He's just like, oh, we're shitting on Network Daddy.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like, shitting on YouTube. I'm like, fuck YouTube. If you could like and subscribe, that would be great. You can give to our Patreon. Yeah, that's my drama. It's silly, and it affects my livelihood, but it's also like, I called my cat the C word in my little skit, and now I can't.
Now you're paying.
Now I'm paying for it. Just makes me angry. Anyway, like and subscribe, follow us. Where can they follow us, Maria?
At Two Non-Doctors, number two Full Word Doctors on Twitter and YouTube, at Two Non-Doctors, number two DRS on Instagram. You can write to us if you have any comments, questions, or whatever at two non-doctors@gmail.com. Follow me at Maria Shahada.
Yeah, Liz Mealy.
Yeah. So I did my work in progress. Do you know how I was like trying to like turn my show into theater?
Yeah.
I did it at the Bill Murray, which is a comedy club. And I did it like right after a pro show. So I had gone on last on that show. I did well, so people stayed to see this. But I didn't tell them it was like a total 180. It was like the 10 minutes was like bang, 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 joke, 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 joke. And then I'm like, when I was 5, my dad left me at school and he didn't pick me up, you know? And they're like, what the fuck is going on? But I just don't think, I think I had a hard time with it just because it was like this mix that I don't think it went bad. I just, like, the one person who I wanted to come see it, like this producer, saw it and said it was too stand-up-y. And that she wanted to hear more of the story. But like, you know, I got compliments and stuff after, but it was just like, I did have like my feet in both worlds and I didn't know how to navigate. Like, I felt like an obligation to perform jokes because I just felt like the story, what, I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. I was just performing it. So what? Right. So I read the story and I performed the jokes, but I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing.
But it's also, you said it was a work in progress, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this in private. I think that's what I like about Mike Birbiglia's one-man shows, is that it's extremely funny while having a cohesive story. I appreciate both camps, right? The one-woman, one-man show and the presentation of a narrative in this format, and I appreciate stand-up, and even stand-up, I would say, like this next hour, like Space Camp, has a narrative, like it has a beginning, middle, and end, in a way that mine never have. It's still stand-up, but a lot more storytelling. But I don't know. I fight back on the fact that it has to be one or the other, like, because also. Unless you truly want to walk away from unless you want to completely do something different with this, in the sense that it's
well, I did initially, because I think there is some stand-up that just doesn't serve the story. So it's like, I could probably omit that. I don't know. I just brought it up because it's just an interesting thing I've been trying to do. It's like a totally different world. And I'm like, I need to stop doing it in the world I know, which is stand-up comedy, and like do it in a theater next time and just see how it goes. Because I just felt obligated to do stand-up.
It's also how people know you as well. Like, I've learned over time, like, my scripts are really dark. I would say they're like dark comedies and more dark than comedy. And every time they're like, why don't you do something like your stand-up? And I was like, but I already do my stand-up. Like, right. This is
my stand-up's my stand-up. This is a different expression.
This is about murder. The other one was about sheets. Different. Different.
Murder sheets, murder people.
Murder people.
One's funny, different. One's very dark.
Yeah, one's very dark. But it is like I reread one of my first scripts and I was like, this is fucking good. And nobody fucking like is looking at it because they see me. Like, you know how like women used to have like alias names, be like, a man wrote this, so like people take it seriously.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I almost have to be like an author wrote this. So like people be like, this is really good writing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so frustrating that like people see you the same way that I think when artists want to change musical genres, right? Like, you know somebody as a rapper, you know somebody as country, and they want to go into pop or they want to go into, you know, whatever. It's like some people are able to get away with it, but some people, they lose their entire fan base because they're like, no, this is what you do. And I said, this is what you do. And you're like, no, I'm complex.
There's so many sides of me.
So complex. I cry more often than you would realize.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, yeah. So it is fun. And it's like interesting to expand my skill set, I guess. So it's all been a process. It's just interesting. I don't think the work in progress was bad or good. I think it was useful.
And but isn't that 100% what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Then you nailed absolutely. It.
Thanks, Muffin.
Yeah.
We have 4 minutes each.
Why do we only have 4 minutes?
4 minutes each. So we have 7 minutes left.
Oh, I was like, what? Sorry.
Quickly with
Googles.
Googles. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Mine, I might have talked about it a little bit, but my Google was, can cats have food aversion due to boarding? Because Lunchbox has basically not eaten his regular food for like 2 weeks and is driving me nuts. He boarded for like 2 weeks and they're really good for, he doesn't sit in a cage. Like, he sleeps in a cage, but like they roam around, they get played with. Like, it's not like a typical boarding situation because it's my parents' old animal hospital, but he's such a sensitive baby. And he hates boarding so much, and any kind of change, he gets weird. And so this is the longest he's ever been like this. And he just hates his wet food. And so, my mom said he would be fine in a couple of days, but it's been 2 weeks and now I'm leaving again. He's not boarding. I asked my brother to stay with me or stay at my place and take care of him. And I'm very, very grateful. But basically it says the main reason is stress, though a cat's total refusal to eat can also be caused by learned food aversions and physical discomfort. So there's a lot of food aversion. If like they ate that food and they were nauseous or they were sick or whatever, they might associate being nauseous with that food. A cat will very simply decide to not eat. Anorexia is most commonly a reaction to stress caused by environmental change, such as hospitalization and boarding. And then it says, how long does cat food aversion last in cats? Cats with nausea may develop a learned aversion to certain foods. Often this happens when cats eat before an episode of nausea or vomiting. These versions can last up to 40 days in cats, so it's best to avoid accidentally causing aversion by feeding a desired long-term food to a cat who is nauseous. So the 40 days was like, oh, well, that's annoying as shit. So he's eating, so I basically got him, I was talking to my mom about it, and I was like, well, he's eating, if I put this like shredded chicken over his chicken, normal chicken loaf, he'll eat just the shredded chicken. And if I mix it in, he'll eat maybe a little bit more. And if I just give him shredded chicken, he only eats the shredded chicken. And my mom was like, so just give him shredded chicken. I go, first of all, I made chicken loaf. I opened a can of chicken loaf. I bought 40 cases of chicken loaf. We're eating chicken loaf. We're not eating shredded chicken. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, what am I, a restaurant? Like, I'm just so mad at him where I'm just like, it's chicken loaf. It's always been chicken loaf. You've never had a problem with chicken loaf. So the thing is, I would just give him the shredded chicken. I would just give in to his episode of food aversion and give him the shredded chicken. But he has a sensitive tum-tum and he'll have diarrhea. And I've been fighting his sensitive tum-tum diarrhea for months, and I just got him to, because I had to go from kitten food to adult food, and he was all like squishy on the inside, and the chicken loaf has been good for him. And when you start to put different food, especially that stuff has gravy, that's why he loves it, he starts to get wiggly inside. So he can't just have shredded chicken. The other thing is, it's like, he's fat. He's super fat. He's almost 15 pounds. He is too fat. Don't watch your face. I see your face. It's inappropriate. I'm doing the best I can.
He's
so cute. He's so cute. He is fully round. He is a circular. But I don't want him to get bigger. It's probably not a big deal that he's not eating all his food. But at the same time, it's like he needs to get at least the necessary calories in. So like, my brother's coming to stay and he came over yesterday and I'm like, so this is what you do and da 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 da. And he's like, so you can't just give him full shredded chicken. I was like, why does nobody understand? But now looking back, he's done this like 3 times. When I brought him home initially when he was a kitten, he didn't eat for like 3 days. I was like freaking out. And I called the shelter and the shelter's like, he's always eaten. He loves to eat. And I was like, what is this? And then 2 other times when I've had to board him, he's been weird about food. So it's like, I mean, the cat's going to get his way. I'm going to try to do less. I don't want to do long tours for my own food aversion, anger towards just being away. But goddamn, he is stressing me out.
So
food aversion, just because he associates it with boarding and he hated it. That's pretty much what's happening. He's like, I hate it there. And the smell of this makes me think of captivity and I hate it.
Well, he's, you know, he'll start eating again and I'm glad it's not more serious.
Yeah. And he'll eat the dry food, but the dry food, I've got 2 minutes. Also, okay, go.
I'm gonna cut you off there. No, mine was because I got my hair cut today. And my stylist is 27 and she was talking about getting Botox. And I was like, why? And then it's preventative Botox. So people in their 20s are getting Botox. Real.
It's not real.
Well, so that's what I thought, right? And I told her, I was like, you don't need to do that. It's not real. It's probably, you don't know what the long-term effects are, and it's probably going to fuck you up. So just don't. But then I was Googling it, and then nobody took my side. And even the Washington Post article was like, yeah, it's fine. There are issues with Botox in general. I'm like, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking what happens when you use too much Botox for too long, or just Botox for too long. And it just seemed like it actually kind of worked. They did a study on twins. One twin took Botox for 13 years. The other one didn't. The one that didn't use, or that did do Botox, had less wrinkles. So.
Dude, like, it's, there's a half-life to Botox. So every time you use it, it works less and less. So if you're going to do it when you're 27, when you want to use it, when you're 37, 47,
the point
or whatever,
is you won't need to use it because you've been doing all that preventative stuff. But I'm just like, why don't you just wait and then use it? Like, why do you have to commit to 13 years? Botox isn't cheap, by the way.
It is not. So. I don't know. I have no desire to do it.
It's too late. You can't do preventative. Like, you've already got the wrinkles. You would just be doing Botox.
Thank you.
Can we just end it there?
Okay. Well, this has been Two Non-Doctors. This is our last episode.